Happy Friday and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that this show finds you doing well. It is Friday, April 2nd. Baseball season is here. Hope for whatever team you cheer for. They got off to a great start. Unfortunately, my Braves didn't have such a good start, but hey, that's become commonplace for them. But we do have Grizzlies basketball tonight. So even with baseball season here, hopefully we've still got a couple more months of Grizzlies basketball. And so we're going to talk about all things leading into what should be a very pivotal month of April for the Memphis Grizzlies. In the first segment, I'm going to talk a bit about Ja Morant, who certainly has stepped up, as I mentioned on Thursday's show. He's stepped up to hit new heights when it comes to his scoring ability in the month of March. But how is he comparing to some of the players that he's been most frequently compared to through their second seasons? I'm going to talk a bit about that in the first segment of today's show. In the second segment, we're going to discuss the month of April, looking at the schedule, looking at just how tough it may be, some opportunities that may be there, but there's going to be several stretches where the Grizzlies are going to have to play to the best of their ability to be able to pick up multiple wins as time goes on. And then in the third segment, we'll obviously talk about and preview the game tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a game where the Grizzlies just need to win. I don't want to be dramatic and say that this is a must win, but I will say this arguably is one of the two easiest games that the Grizzlies are going to have to win this month. I don't think that that's a stretch at all. The two easiest games for the Grizzlies to win this month are going to be their first and last games of the month, and we'll get into that a bit more in the second segment. But of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the new Odyssey app, where you can find all of the Locked On Podcast Network shows. We also want to remind you that today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. So as we discussed in the month of March, you know, Ja Morant ended the month in two versus the three games that the Grizzlies were able to play the Jazz. He ended the month scoring 30 points apiece. And before the month of March, he had only two games in his career in which he had scored 30 or more points. Then he entered the month of March and he scored four of them. He doubled his career output of 30-point performances in the month of March alone. And they were all needed in games where the Grizzlies, though they didn't get a win in any of the games, they showed that they could play with some of the better teams in the NBA. And a big reason for that was because of the performances of Ja Morant. But of course, ever since he's come into the league, four players that Ja Morant has been compared to is a young Allen Iverson, a young Derrick Rose, a young John Wall, and a young Russell Westbrook. Now, the thing about it is that, you know, I don't think anybody has come across as saying that, you know, Ja Morant is, you know, automatically going to be to the level that those players, you know, were in their primes. However, he has shown basically shades. You know, he has shown flashes of being similar to those type of players. So I wanted to kind of look and see, okay, with 6 weeks left in the stretch run of his second year, how's Ja kind of comparing to these four players? And the crazy thing is, the great thing is actually, is that you will come away highly encouraged with how well he is comparing to these four players. There are a lot of similarities, there are some differences, but at the end of the day, Ja Morant certainly is his own player, but it does seem like he has a career trajectory that is on par with some of these players. As long as he can remain healthy, perhaps like a Russell Westbrook, though I don't know if he's ever going to have the triple-double potential, he could be a better shooter than Russell Westbrook. Hopefully, if Ja Morant can remain healthy, he could have a similar career path to a few of these players. So, you know, when it comes to points per game over their first 2 years, I looked at the first two seasons that these players played together, again, comparing Ja Morant to Allen Iverson, Derrick Rose, John Wall, and Russell Westbrook. Looking at all fives, first two seasons. Ja Morant's a bit behind right now when it comes to the amount of games that he's played, but he'll be right in there. He'll be right in line with these guys at the end of his second season. But I wanted to kind of see where he is now and where he potentially could improve over the final 6 weeks to make his numbers look even better against these four other greats. But when it comes to these five players through their first two seasons compared to each other, Ja Morant actually is third in points per game. He has 18.4 in his career so far, where Allen Iverson had 22.7 and Derrick Rose had 18.7. When it comes to assists, Ja Morant is actually second on this list. John Wall had 8.2 assists per game over his first 2 years. Ja is second at 7.3, Iverson at 6.8, and then Rose and Westbrook at 6.2 and 6.6. Effective field goal percentage, Ja Morant actually is the best among this group. He's at a 49.4% effective field goal percentage. Allen Iverson's at 47.6, while Derrick Rose is at 48.9. Here's the big thing. One of the reasons why Ja compares favorably to these four stars, you know, through their first 2 years in the NBA is because, like these other four stars, Ja's ability to shoot the three is something that's still developing. Only Allen Iverson had a three-point field goal percentage above 30% through the first 2 years of his career. Right now, Ja Morant actually comes in at 29.6%, shooting three three-pointers per game. Now, what this tells me is this, is that Ja's style of play actually probably is similar to a style of play that may have been more productive, you know, a decade ago, or, you know, 10 to 15 years ago than it is now, because of how important the ability to shoot the three is to a player games now. I'm not saying that Ja can't develop that. I'm not trying to put a cap on where Ja's career can go, but I'm just saying that that is something that you're seeing about Ja Morant, is that he is most effective in the lane and, you know, at the rim as a finisher and as a driver. That's just his game, and it does compare quite favorably with these players. On a per 36-minute basis, when you compare these players, Ja Morant actually is scoring 21.2 points per 36. That leads this group. He also is averaging the most assists per 36 minutes. He's at 8.5, while John Wall is at 8 assists per 36 minutes. Ja Morant also actually is third in rebounds. He's averaging 4.2 rebounds. So he's not rebounding as well as Westbrook. Westbrook leads this group, averaging 5.3 rebounds, which is about a rebound higher than John Wall. But when it comes to the ability to score, when it comes to the ability to pass, Ja Morant actually is, he performs better than these four guards did per 36 minutes through the first 2 years of their career, which really stands out to show just how rare of a combination as a scorer and a passer Ja Morant is entering the league compared to other notable players in recent NBA history. Also, Ja Morant comes in and he has the second highest field goal percentage out of this group through their first 2 years. Derrick Rose had 48.3%, while Ja Morant had 46.4%. So what really stands out is that Ja Morant's ability to score and pass compares quite favorably to some notable players. Some players who, with Westbrook and Iverson, in my opinion, Iverson obviously is a Hall of Famer. Westbrook will be one day. Rose nor John Wall may get there due to unfortunate injuries, but it just goes to show that Ja Morant does have a trajectory for his career that could potentially lead to a Hall of Fame status because of how he compares favorably to players that came before him. In terms of advanced metrics, when it comes to player efficiency rating, Ja Morant actually is second on this list at a 17.5 PER. Allen Iverson was at 19.3, and when it comes to win shares per 48, Ja Morant is right there with Derrick Rose, who come in second and third behind Allen Iverson. So the overall thing that stands out when it comes to Ja Morant is that there is a reason why people compare him to players who started their careers between 2005 and 2010. His style of play is comparable to the style of play that worked for players that were coming in the league at that time. And that's not a knock on Ja Morant. It's just showing how awesome of a... Basically, when it comes to like a creative player on 2K, he is starting out with such an awesome package of skills that you have not... That while you may not rarely have seen, since you've got four guys you can compare it to, it's certain is encouraging that the level of players that it's compared to are all players who started off their career as clearly having Hall of Fame potential. Two of them will be Hall of Famers, but two of them unfortunately took a step back due to their injuries. But that's what's encouraging about Ja Morant. Even if his three-point shot, you know, for some reason never becomes an absolute weapon, it never becomes anything more than passable, His combination as a scorer, his combination as a passer, and overall the maturity that he's shown when he's on the court at such a young age, it still is difference-making. It still is something that will make him a literal superstar, multi-time all-star, and obviously a big-time contributor to what many of us hopefully will hope will be a championship team. Because the thing about it is this, the other thing that stands out about these players is that they've all had some type of success in the playoffs, right? Allen Iverson led his team to the finals. Russell Westbrook has been to a finals, had a chance to go to another finals. John Wall has won playoff series. Derrick Rose has won playoff series. So that's the thing about it, is that this style of play, the style of player that Ja Morant is, among these other four players, they've been the best players on teams that were successful in the playoffs. Now, for them to be actual finals competitors, they did need help elsewhere, which the Grizzlies front office will continue to need to add there to Ja. But the other thing about these four players that I mentioned, besides how individually Ja compares to them, which is encouraging, is that the other thing is all four of these players have had credible amounts of playoff success that showed that they can operate in the postseason just as well as they can in the regular season. And that also plays well to Ja's future and showing that he could be a big-time contributor for a true playoff team as well as a hopeful contender in time. So plenty of encouraging things to look at when it comes to how Ja's second season is progressing, even if his second season may be a little bit less than many of us had expected, including his shooting, though in my opinion, he has showed a bit better ability to shoot, you know, over the past few weeks. But the thing about it is that we're going to need Ja at his absolute best as much as possible in the month of April because of how tough the Grizzlies' schedule is. Yes, no stretch of their schedule is going to be tougher than the 3-game-in-5-days stretch that they just had against Utah, which could be very helpful, could make this team a bit battle-tested, but they do have a stretch of 15 games in the month of April where they will be playing teams that have the playoffs in mind for this season. Coming up, we're going to look at that schedule in April and see where the Grizzlies may have some struggles and some successes as they themselves try to push for the playoffs. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? Yeah, Sport Trade. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares as many players as you'd like. The stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to SportTrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at SportTrade and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the game at SportTrade.com. 2020 was a crazy year for all of us, but now with the spring here, hopefully we're getting signs that in 2021, things are slowly and surely getting back to normal, which means that you're probably out and about more with the weather warming up. But, you know, it's been crazy weather for many of us across the country and the world. If your car, unfortunately, needs repairs done as a result, I've got the one place that has you covered if you were to need repairs, and that's rockauto.com. For a variety of reasons. Number one, within a few clicks of the button, it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks, you're going to be able to get what you need. And I say that because they're likely going to have what you need, regardless of the make and model, or the make and model of your car, or the part that you need. If you're someone like me who has to have others do the repairs, if you do your own repairs, or if you do car repairs for a living, RockAuto.com has you covered because they're very economically feasible. This is a family-owned business. They know that car parts typically fall out of budgets, so they try to make things as economically feasible as possible. If you visit RockAuto.com today, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. As I had mentioned on yesterday's episode, you know, the Grizzlies need to do several things. There's several things from March that the Grizzlies need to either address or carry over from the month of March when they face a very tough schedule in the month of April. Of course, the thing is that the starters have to be more productive from the beyond the arc. This Grizzlies team has got to get better in the first half of the season, and Ja Morant is going to have to consistently answer the call, especially in the second halves, to lead this Grizzlies team to victory. And the reason why that is because the Grizzlies play 17 games in 29 days in the month of April. If you even want to go over to May, they play 18 games in 30 days, 12 of which are going to be on the road. The themes about April are this, is that the first and second, or the first and last games of April are the Grizzlies' two easiest games to win. Tonight against the Timberwolves, and then when they meet Orlando in the first of a back-to-back, a 1-1 series, both in Memphis and Orlando on April 30th. Those are the two easiest games for the Grizzlies to win this month, because Minnesota right now has the worst record in the NBA. And Orlando, obviously, is going into a complete rebuild after the players that they traded at the trade deadline. But in between that, the Grizzlies are going to have 11 of their 16 games on the road. And the major theme for April is that they're going to be facing a lot of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, that doesn't include the Brooklyn Nets, but it includes about every other team in the East that right now is vying for the playoffs hard when it comes to the current standings in the Eastern Conference. But tonight, the Grizzlies obviously get started against Minnesota. We'll have a bit more about that in the third segment. Then after that, the Grizzlies get on the road. Sunday, they'll be playing they'll be playing at Philadelphia. And then following that, they will be playing at Philadelphia, at Miami, at Atlanta, and in New York. Then after that, they'll welcome the Pacers and the Bulls to Memphis. So the Grizzlies will play six straight Eastern Conference teams, four of which are on the road. The 76ers, the Heat, the Hawks, the Knicks, the Pacers, and then the Bulls. Now right now, the Pacers, while they're still in the playoff pursuit, they're kind of out of the playoffs, but does seem like they are certainly still trying to vie for the playoffs, and as close as the standings are in the Eastern Conference, you certainly could see them making a push. Right now in the Eastern Conference, these teams that the Grizzlies are playing, the 76ers are second in the Eastern Conference, the Heat are fifth, the Knicks are sixth, the Hawks are seventh, the Pacers are ninth, and the Bulls are tenth. But as I mentioned, both the Pacers and the Bulls certainly are making playoff pursuits, and it seems like right now that both those teams are in the play-in spot. So both teams will have their chances at making the playoffs, and when you see how they potentially could match up against the Hawks or the Celtics, you know, any of those four teams could certainly make a run for the playoffs. So that's how crowded this Grizzlies schedule will be. So a few of these games, the Grizzlies will be favored, especially those two games at home. But the point is that they're going to be facing evenly matched teams. This Pacers team still has Miles Turner, Malcolm Brogdon, Domantas Sabonis. This Bulls team now has Nikola Vucevic, and also, you know, Zach LaVine, and of course, you know, the 76ers, Heat, and Hawks, you know, those are all teams right there that the Grizzlies will consistently, you know, have, you know, they're going to be, I'm not going to say outmatched, but you could make a case that those rosters are right now a bit better than where the Grizzlies are, and so they will have, every night, the Grizzlies are going to have a tough matchup. After that stretch of six games against Eastern Conference opponents, the Grizzlies then face off against the division-leading Dallas Mavericks on April 14th in Memphis. So then after that game, the Grizzlies get back out on the road, and they face the Bulls on April 16th in Chicago and face the Bucks on April 17th in Milwaukee. So back-to-back games once again against Eastern Conference playoff teams. Following that, the Grizzlies then start facing Western Conference playoff teams. After that Bucks game on April 17th, the Grizzlies play at Denver. They play in L.A. They then play in Portland on both April 23rd and April 25th to make up for games from January that we missed due to COVID. So right in that stretch right there, the Grizzlies will face between April 17th and April 25th, they'll face the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Clippers, and then the Trailblazers. That's five straight games against teams that, and then after that, they've faced the Nuggets again at home and the Trailblazers again at home. So between April 17th and April 28th, the lineup of games that the Grizzlies have are against the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Trailblazers again, the Nuggets, and the Trailblazers. So another stretch in which the Grizzlies play the same team three out of four games on the schedule, but they also have to play the Nuggets twice, the Clippers, and the Bucks. You know, I mentioned that when the Grizzlies got back out on the road for that road trip that'll take them from April 16th through April 26th, I mentioned that that was going to be the stretch of their season that was going to define probably a few weeks before the season, where they were going to be, just how good of a playoff potential this team had when it came to ending the season in May. But it's not that they'll be on the road. It's the caliber of talent that they're going to be facing. The Nuggets, who the Grizzlies play twice this month, they improved at the trade deadline. The Bulls, who the Grizzlies play twice this month, they improved at the trade deadline. The Trailblazers, who the Grizzlies play three times this month, they improved at the trade deadline. So that's the other thing about it, is that this Grizzlies team is going to be playing teams that since they last faced them, or even the last time that I talked about the schedule, when it was released back in late February, that right there is basically half of the Grizzlies games in April. That it has teams that have improved from the trade deadline. So the schedule has become even tougher from the last time that we talked about it. So an absolute stretch where the Grizzlies are going to have to consistently play at their best to have a chance to win. We've seen that the Grizzlies played well against the Nuggets, that the Grizzlies played well against the Bucks. They played well in two of the three games against the Jazz. They're going to have to take the lessons learned, and they're going to have to take adjustments made from those games and improve. Because, yes, it's great to see the Grizzlies playing with these teams, but if this roster truly has the aspirations of making the playoffs this year, they're going to have to convert some of those well-played, moral victory-type games into victories. They have the potential to do it. They certainly can, especially if Jaren Jackson Jr. can come back towards the end of this schedule and add any contributions at all, and Justice Winslow and Grayson Allen themselves can get healthy also. But this Grizzlies team is going to have to start converting some of these close calls into big victories against better teams for them to really continue to have true playoff aspirations for this season. But despite all of that, it starts tonight. And once again, if tonight is one of the two games in which the Grizzlies have the best chance to win in April, they've got to take care of business tonight. And that's much easier said than done against a young roster in Minnesota who, despite their record, shows plenty of potential in stretches on a nightly basis. Coming up, we'll talk about tonight's game against Minnesota and where the Grizzlies could have struggles and successes in pulling off a much-needed victory. For fan of March Madness, the calendar has turned to April, so you know that means that in the next few days, the champion of all the March Madness craziness that happens in the tournament brackets will be determined when it comes to men's and college basketball. But I've actually got some exciting news for you. The third most exciting March Madness tournament from 2021 has already been determined, and that is the Built Bar March Madness Tournament. That's correct. Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar that's on the market right now. The versatile but very beneficial addition to your day that you can have in the morning as breakfast or in the afternoon as a snack. Built Bar has named its champion, drum roll please, Coconut Brownie Chunk. That's correct. Coconut Brownie Chunk is the 2021 Built Bar March Madness champion. Ha! A little bit of pun there. Now, I don't know if I would sit here and pick Coconut Brownie Chunk myself as the champion, but I can tell you this. No matter what taste preferences you have, Built Bar is likely going to have it. Over 18 flavors to choose from 100% chocolate bars that allow for you to add a bit of health benefit to your day, but it tastes like a candy bar, so it's great, and it's easy to make a part of your day. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Again, go to BuiltBar.com or bar_built and put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Congratulations to Coconut Brownie Chunk, and best of luck to all the men's and women's team remaining in the 2021 March Madness tournaments. Of course, the other great thing about being a sports fan, and with March Madness here, Major League Baseball starting in the NBA and NHL seasons in their stretch runs, of course, with UFC and soccer all around the world, is that if a part of your fandom is being able to wager and bet on sports, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on sports. So the great thing about it is that no matter how you bet on sports, BetOnline likely has you covered. If it's props, if it's scores, if it's the over-under, BetOnline is going to be your one-stop shop when it comes to all things wagers and bets on sports. It's so easy and it's so fast for you to be able to see all your sports action in just a few moments. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code Locked On. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline.ag today. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Grizzlies have seen the Minnesota Timberwolves 3 times already this season, but the thing about it is only one of these games counted, right? That game was earlier this year in January. The first game of the year that the Grizzlies had interrupted due to COVID was the second game of one of the back-to-back series, you know, against the same team that has been a staple of all the NBA team schedules this year. You know, in the first game of that, you know, that was the game that was scheduled canceled due to COVID. Of course, the Grizzlies had faced, you know, the Timberwolves had looked really good against them in the preseason on a back-to-back in Minnesota back in December. But in the one game that the Grizzlies did play Minnesota this year, one thing stood out is that the Grizzlies, just like they did many times in the month of March, they struggled through the first 3 quarters of the game, and then they were able to find their groove in the fourth quarter because the defense got stops and their points in the paint took over. The Grizzlies actually set a franchise record for most points in the paint in franchise history with 80 points and stopped Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell, and Karl Anthony Towns just enough in the fourth quarter of that game to earn the victory. Well, not much has changed for Minnesota. They still are a team that very much struggles defensively. But even with D'Angelo Russell out, who had surgery on his left knee earlier this year, and so he will miss tonight's game, this team in Minnesota still is a threat if you do not play your style of game to allow for you to be able to match up well with them. And in the Grizzlies' case, with the talent that they have, they should be able to beat them. But the thing that stands out about Minnesota is that even with D'Angelo Russell out, they still have Karl Anthony Towns, Malik Beasley, and Anthony Edwards, who are averaging combined between them right now 60 to 65 points per game. And a big thing that they get their success from is that they average about 22 three-point attempts per game, making around 7 to 10 a night. The big thing about the Grizzlies is that, unlike they were able to do in the first game that these two teams played, even though Russell is not the third member of that group, this Grizzlies team cannot allow for Towns, Edwards, and Beasley to have their season average of combined points through the first 3 quarters of the game like the Grizzlies allowed Beasley, Russell, and Towns to do. I believe that between those three players, they had over 70 combined points by the time through the first 3 quarters of that, you know, game back in January that the Grizzlies played against the Timberwolves. The Grizzlies cannot allow that. And the thing is that this Minnesota Timberwolves team is a lot like the Thunder team, though the Thunder play significantly better defense. But this Timberwolves team is like the Thunder team in that, though they don't shoot the three well, the Minnesota Timberwolves are only 26th in the league right now when it comes to shooting the three, they do average the 7th most three-point attempts per game. As I mentioned, between Edwards, Beasley, and Karl Anthony Towns, that's nearly 22 three-point attempts per game. And Beasley and Towns both shoot over 40%. So the Grizzlies have always had issues with Karl Anthony Towns, though here recently they've done a better job of defending him. But if Karl Anthony Towns is the focus, if he is the guy that you want to make sure is not going to beat you, you've got to be able to also make sure that Beasley or Edwards, Jalen Noel, Jaden McDaniels, these other players, you don't want for several of them to have significantly productive games as well. So the big thing for the Grizzlies tonight is guarding the three-point line and making sure that both Beasley and Towns do not have awesome games. They don't have more than 25 points between them, good shooting nights, because if both Beasley and Karl Anthony Towns have that, this team is good enough offensively to where they can find two or three more contributors who could really make this a tough game. The Grizzlies can find themselves down quickly in this game if they're not hitting their own shots and they're not defending the three. The other thing that this Minnesota Timberwolves team does is that they are third in the league in steals and third in the league in blocks. They are a very effective team when it comes to creating turnovers, and not only that, scoring off of turnovers. If this team gets in the open court, especially with Ricky Rubio at point guard without Russell being available, this team can't hurt you being out on the run as well. So the Grizzlies are going to have to take care of the ball on offense, they're going to have to defend the 3-0 defense, and they're going to have to play to their strengths. That is being able to score in the paint, and off of that, being able to shoot the three well. I don't think that the Grizzlies are going to have as tough of a time as they have here recently scoring in the paint. They should be able to push 60 to 70 points tonight scoring in the paint. But the one thing that the Grizzlies also have got to do, they've got to figure out how to make at least 10 threes in this game. They've just consistently been below 10 threes a game the whole month of March. It would be great if the Grizzlies could have a successful night shooting. You don't even have to attempt 40 threes. This is probably a game where you don't want to. As I mentioned, Taylor Jenkins now, I believe, is 16-5 with the Grizzlies, he's now 16-6 with the Grizzlies attempt 25 or less threes in a game, because that's when they are really featuring their ability to score in the paint. It's fine if you want to focus on the paint. Feature your floaters. Feature the ability to score. Get the and ones. Whatever you want to do, do it. But if you're going to do that, feed off of that to find successful shots from three, because the Grizzlies can use tonight as a way to win, and then from there can use it as a launching pad to get their three-pointers back on track. That's going to be such a big boost for when they start going through the tough parts of the April schedule, like I mentioned in the second segment. So that's the key for the Grizzlies tonight. Take care of the basketball and offense. Make sure that you focus on the paint and use your strengths in there through Jonas and Ja and others getting into the paint, featuring floaters, and then using effective passing to find good looks. And then from there, flashing it out to the three-point line, setting up Desmond Bane, setting up Kyle Anderson and others to shoot the ball from three. But on defense, it's making sure that you control the three-point line, that you don't get easy fouls in transition, and that you prevent Beasley or Karl Anthony Towns from really getting in the groove. It's very simple for the Grizzlies to win tonight. They just need to play to their level of potential on both offense and defense. This is one of the games where the Grizzlies, if they play to their level, they should be able to win tonight's game. But if they struggle, especially defending the three, they could find themselves in a much tighter game than they anticipated tonight, in a game that, in all honesty, really is a must-win game for this Grizzlies team with how tough the April schedule is. It should be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to see this game played. Hopefully, you'll be able to watch it with enjoyment wherever you are listening. I hope that you are well. Enjoy this weekend's game. We will be back on Sunday with a nitty-gritty grind session talking about the Grizzlies matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers. Hopefully, also, to talk a bit, a positive experience from tonight's game, as we hopefully will earn a win versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. Enjoy tonight. Anthony Edwards is emerging as one of the, better personalities of this young rookie class. He certainly has a magnetic personality, so it'll be a lot of fun to see him and Ja Morant. We might even get an in-game slam dunk contest between the two, which is always fun to see. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast wherever they're available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, iTunes, wherever you choose to listen, that's where we are. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.